This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bruce, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Good morning, guys. I'm just wondering, Mully, are you available via your contract to play shortstop for the Chicago White Sox?
If they end up with a guy like me trying to play shortstop in the major leagues, then they would set a new record for failure, because I guarantee you, seven errors an inning, is that what it would be?
with all due respect, your name is right there with Nick Maton and Tristan Gray, two guys that have had, up and down careers and have been invited as non-rosters this year. And, with the Madrid going to the minor leagues back to AAA, the guy that most people thought was going to be the shortstop until Montgomery was ready, it's pretty much up in the air with two or three days left.
Well, how does that happen, Bruce? Explain to Sox fans, explain to us how the Sox essentially gave Colson Montgomery the chance to win the job, and he didn't. Gave the job to Chase Mydroth and him the opportunity to win the job, and he didn't. And how we're supposed to feel good about the player development in a season that is all about player development, and the first two shots at shortstop were swings and misses, essentially.
Well, it's not like Montgomery is done in the organization. The key is to get him more reps, to get him more confident, to dominate down there for a month and then be back. So, putting someone in there full-time is really not the idea. I mean, you have Baldwin played there, quite a bit last year. You have Amaya, who doesn't really hit very much. That's a possibility, but they're not looking for a full-time shortstop. They're looking for somebody to handle the position until Montgomery's ready, and hopefully that's sometime the end of April and early May.
It's just confounding because we're 2 days away, right? And Bruce, you kind of talked me off the ledge a little bit, saying that there are players that will be cut that will be starting for this team. So I'm like, there's still time. They can get somebody in here. But it is just weird that we don't know what the lineup is.
Would you feel better if when I talked to one of my sources, they said, yeah, we're going after Nicky Lopez? Would you feel
like they're not doing that, right?
No, I know, but would that be a more confident way to go? Or would you say, we're going back to last year?
That's what's interesting, because I think Madroff didn't hit well enough, and they didn't want to ruin him before he had a chance to develop. And now they got the double play combination down at Charlotte, and maybe they can figure something out, and maybe both of them are back in a month or two. I don't know. But I like that they're prioritizing development. And I hate to say this, Bruce, but I like the idea that they're the worst team in baseball and they're going to get the first pick next year. And it just seems to feed into where they are as an organization. And I know that is – but if there was some Paul Skeens out there that they wound up getting because they're so damn bad, I don't care how bad they are.
Here's the good news, okay? Short-term good news, they play the second-worst team in the American League the first three games of the season. Does that make you feel any better?
Great.
You're the best. That's a happy thought.
I think what Molly's pointing at or looking at is that you want to feel good about the way the Sox are developing players. Right. And you'd like to see more evidence of that than we currently have. Now, maybe Miguel Vargas will be an example of that because he was a 105 hitter when he came from the Dodgers, and now he's starting at third base after a strong spring. That's a good story. That's something you can maybe get enthused about, encouraged by. When you look at what's going on at shortstop, I think that's why I asked the question the way I did, Bruce. It's somewhat disappointing because of where the expectation was at the beginning of spring. And we want to see other examples of positive player development at whatever positions they may come.
So, again, positive player development is not putting a person in that position at the major league level that's not ready. Okay?
Fair enough.
I mean, that is, you know, and Molly said it perfectly, and I think he's right. You know, Madroth is going to go play second base. Montgomery's going to play short. Development is there. I mean, you know, Sox fans will say, great, so we're going to lose 110, 115 again. It's a possibility, but, you know, if I'm watching those two players at second and short beginning in May, and they're showing that promise that they have to, you know, moving forward after these trades that the White Sox have made and after the development of Montgomery, fine. If not, and it doesn't happen within this year, you know, if Chris Getz does not have this job forever. Let me remind you that. Even though that Jerry Reinsdorf was more than loyal to the people that worked for him in the baseball department for years, that's not going to be the case this time. I can guarantee you that. There has to be results. There have to be better results. And just like the fans and the media, Jerry's expecting this team to be better and showing something down the line here that is going to be worthwhile when it comes to watching the Chicago White Sox.
You know, I recall when Joe Maddon came here, and this is such an unfair comparison, but we talked about this idea that a new manager meant at most two wins difference. You know, so I think they had a bad manager. I think he probably cost them a couple games. If this guy's a good manager, maybe the record improves by like four games, best case scenario. But I feel like Joe Maddon blew that theory out of the water because they were so much better with him and he knew how to deal with young guys. And are they going for young guys? Are they going for middling prospects that might be better, like, you know, journeyman type major leaguers that might be good enough to trade? Or are they really concerned with player development? Like, I can't tell. I don't know their lineup. It's Tuesday, and the lineup needs to be handed to the guy on Thursday.
I know.
He's really concerned about the lineup.
I don't know. Do you feel better
about the lineup?
I'd like to just know the background of all the players. I don't want to be surprised. Oh, I'm related to that guy.
I mean, do you feel better about the rotation then? Okay.
They're all having surgery. Everyone's having Tommy John.
It's, you know, look, I don't know, you know, the story. I don't know how much we can beat up the White Sox without at some point, if they're not improving, people just ignoring them, right? I mean, that's pretty much what a lot of White Sox fans did last year, you know. As the story moved on, they were, you know, other than a few games toward the end where fans came out to boo the result and boo the owner, there weren't a lot of fans coming out to the ballpark. They had drawn the fewest amount of people there since 1999. So I don't think that's going to change a lot here until you see better results on the field. I'm saying if I'm a Sox fan and I know that Madras at second, Montgomery's at short, and that at least I have a future to look at there as they're developing in May and June, I'm going to feel better about going out there. I will say that I applaud Getz for not forcing these guys to the major league level when they're not ready.
All right, Bruce, one more Sox question before maybe we get to the Cubs, but I think it pertains to the rotation because that does seem a little bit more solid and predictable. Davis Martin had a pretty sneaky good spring, and I think he's a good guy that's very intriguing to watch how he translates that into the regular season. Jonathan Cannon did not, and I think expectations were high for him, so I wonder if that carries over into the regular season. We talked about Shane Smith, the Rule 5 guy, and we know about Martin Perez, certainly. So I wonder, when you look at the Sox rotation, what are you looking for, or what are you looking at in terms of strengths and weakness?
I'm looking for guys that can throw 90 pitches coming out of spring training and get you through the fifth or sixth inning. You know, not looking for a real lot other than that, because you can't start going to the bullpen and like it's spring training games where you have an unlimited amount of pitchers available to you. You know, the roster is going to be locked in. You're going to have guys in the minor leagues, yeah, and they'll have options that'll come up. But I'm most concerned about the starters having built up enough to be able to give you six innings if they're having a good day or they're facing a team that's really not offensively ready and they're doing okay. So from that perspective, I want to see major league caliber starting pitchers ready to do their thing. That's the one thing I don't know yet. When we look at the amount of innings and the amount of major league games from the rotation, you know, there's not outside of Perez,
right?
There's you know, their hands full of major league starts, and that's the great unknown for the Chicago White Sox and their starting rotation.
And some of those guys are coming off injury themselves, and some of them you'll have to monitor. They're going to need 8 or 9 different starters. And I know a lot of teams will, but I think they're going to need more. I worry about this with the Cubs, too. If guys can't eat a lot of innings, what happens to your bullpen? You know, and that was why yesterday when they played Atlanta, they gave up. It's the game in spring training, and it's not even the Cactus League, but it's a lot of runs. It's a lot of home runs. If a guy comes into the game and gives up 3 home runs before you get him out of the inning, ugly.
As you look at the Cubs, you can feel a lot better about the fact that at Triple-A, you're going to have Jordan Wicks. You're going to have Javier Assad. You're going to have a healthy Cade Horton. These guys are more than just expected to be able to pitch in the major leagues. We know Assad is more than capable of starting or being a middle reliever. We know that Wicks is a starting pitcher and that has some experience. So when you look at their situation, you understand that the Cubs have much better ideas about what they're going to be looking at when they have to turn to the minor leagues. And make no mistake about it, you're going to turn to the minor leagues. You're going to turn to trades. You're going to turn to waivers as to solidifying your team as the season moves forward. Last year, the Cubs signed 30 pitchers, 3-0,
wow,
from April through September, wow, last year. Okay, and a lot of them were never announced because they were minor league AAA contracts. The only way you knew it is if you went to MLB.com, your app, and you looked at the signings and transactions. That's how you knew it happened. There were rarely any of those things ever announced.
So, Bruce, yesterday in the Cubs game that they lost to the Braves, Gage Workman homered again. He's been as productive of a hitter as the Cubs have had in camp in spring training. What do they do with the roster now? Did they have to pare it down to 26? We talk about this nearly every day because it seems to maybe change every single day. Brujan might be the odd guy, odd man out here. I know they traded Matt Mervis for him, but I just wonder, what do you anticipate the Cubs doing with the roster in that final spot that Gage Workman is trying to make?
Well, I think Brujan's the odd man out. Workman, now, remember last year when they started the season in Texas and Morrell didn't start the first game? You remember that? They had, I forgot who exactly played third. But he, you know, the whole spring was all about morale.
Master Boney?
I think it was.
I think they had seven different third basemen last year, all of whom are gone.
Right. But morale eventually took over the job until he was traded. The idea is that with Council, you can't think along with him, okay? You cannot. And to think that Workman is not going to be a part of what's going on at third base, I think that would be naive. I think, you know, it's certainly Shaw's job, but against certain right-handed pitching, Workman's going to be in there. He's going to be in there at different positions. They're not getting a Rule 5 kid who they think, well, we'll hold on to for a year, we won't play him. They're not going to play with a – this manager – won't play with a 25-man roster, okay? He won't do it. So either Workman, he's going to get time in there, and if he's proving himself, he's going to continue to be in the lineup. That is, I think, the essence of what Council is, regardless of what we think we know about him. He's about winning every day, and he's about putting people in there and not caring about whether you're hurting someone's feelings or not.
It's fascinating because I think that we look at that first part of the schedule and who they're playing, and we know they're already 0-2, even if none of, you know, the whole thing was goofy. But that's reality. How important are these first 24 games, and what do you think they will do in terms of production?
Well, guess what the Cubs were last year, the first month in the season, including two games in March.
Last year they were very good out of the gate.
Yeah, 17-13.
Very good.
Right.
Yep. The Council.
So everybody. So Council. You know, everybody was saying, "Hey, he's got him right at first place, right near there, playing great." Two streaks, I think, where they won six games once and five or six games another time. So it was all looking good. So the first month of the season is important because as we look back. You know, people say, well, you know, if they would have won these games in April, that wasn't the Cubs. It was May and June last year, right? They tanked. And that's what cost them winning 87 games and being in the playoffs last year. So I think sometimes we make too much of April. But again, we're fans, we're observers, we're people that care. And you're looking for ways to be able to determine how a club is going to look all year. All these projections, Cubs are going to win 86, Cubs are going to win 77, Cubs are 80, you know.
92?
That's a machine, okay? These are people out there playing the game. The Cubs have looked like they're a better team coming into this season. They look like they have more depth, certainly on the bench, which cost them, you know, if you guys talk about a manager costing a team two games or being worth two games.
Right.
It's all as good as your 26-man roster. It's a better roster coming into this year. We'll see how it plays out.
If PCA struggles or is injured, is Ian Happ the backup plan in center field as we saw yesterday? Boy,
no.
That was a quick answer.
No.
Who is?
He's not. Well, he's going to be starting at AAA, you know,
right.
Alcantara. And that's the guy who's going to be ready to play center field. Okay. He's the best center fielder in the organization this side of Armstrong. So they don't really have another candidate there. Brujan, who has been playing the outfield, might not make the roster when Horner comes back.
Right.
You guys already identified that coming into our conversation, right? So as good as he's been, where is he going to play? He has no options. They can't send him to the minors. They can release him and try to sign him again, but he's probably going to end up somewhere else.
You know, I don't remember. When did they start blowing the saves? Is that the part where they fell, you know?
That was in May and June.
Yeah, so that's got to be resolved. You got to make sure that doesn't happen again. If you can have that, you're all of a sudden going to get your 90 wins.
I think you got a really good start with the bullpen they have. You know, again, are we looking at the Presley from 2 years ago, from last year, from closer to setup man to, you know, mid-30s guy that
not
you know,
the guy yesterday.
Throw. How about the guy that doesn't load the bases with walks?
Oh. Yeah. I mean,
that'd be a good start.
And like you said, Brazier, you know, if you're going off of spring training, that wasn't a That wasn't very good yesterday.
No, three home runs in the fifth? Come on.
I mean, didn't you feel like you wanted to get up there and swing as well? I mean, when he was throwing it down the middle.
If you're giving those away, let me have one.
Good stuff, Bruce.
That's great, Bruce. You're
all right,
the best.
Guys.
Thank you, buddy.
Have a great day.
Yep, you